Hello, a warm welcome from Opera Holland Park, with this brief audio introduction to Mozart's exploration into the nature of love. Così fan tutte, that is what the ladies do, which returns to the theatre in a vibrant new production from acclaimed director Cecilia Stinton, director of last year's highly praised production of Donizetti's Gothic tragedy, Lucia di Lammermoor. The last time Così came to OHP, it was all fragonard and crinolines, but here we are transported to Naples in the 1960s. All miniskirts, white-framed sunspecks, and patterned frocks, and lots of lipstick. The opera is performed by the OHP Young Artists, the stars of tomorrow. And you might be interested in listening to conductor Charlotte Corderay, herself a former Opera Holland Park young artist, talking to our MD, James Clutton, about her meteoric rise to the status of lead conductor, and it's on the OHP website. The Discovery Relax performance is on the 7th of June at 2, with the touch tour beginning at 1, with me, Veronica Hicks, as your guide. The opera runs for about 3 hours with a 20-minute interval. The premise of the story is this. Two military men, Ferrando and Guglielmo, boast about the absolute fidelity of their fiancés, the sisters Fiordiligi and Dorabella. Their cynical older friend, Don Alfonso, declares that all women are fickle, and he bets the men that he can prove that the ladies will stray within 24 hours using the simple device of disguise and the power of wooing. The men accept the bet, confident that they will prove Don Alfonso wrong. For those who like to know in advance what's going to happen, there will be a quick précis of the story of this fast-moving version of love, intrigue, disguise, and unexpected partner swapping, which was written in 1790 by Italian poet Lorenzo da Ponte, who himself was a fascinating character. Born Emanuele Conegliano in a Jewish ghetto in the Veneto in 1749, and baptized as a Catholic in his teens, Lorenzo da Ponte was a master of reinvention, careening from career to career and city to city as poet, priest, professor, publisher, greengrocer, and pimp. He moved from Venice to Vienna, where he wrote 28 libretti for 11 composers, then to London and New York, outliving his friend and fellow adventurer Giacomo Casanova, who probably gave him a few ideas, and his most significant operatic collaborator, Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. They worked together on three operas, Don Giovanni, Figaro, and this. So that's the background. Let's start now with the set and then the main characters. As you take your seats in the open-sided canopied auditorium, the front few rows are still the varied, elegant chairs that were brought in after COVID to ensure distance, with the same sweeping apron stage that separates us from the orchestra pit. The set is once again designed by Neil Irish and lighting by Robert Price, comprising an upper stage at the back, the orchestra pit directly in front of it, with the players being at pretty much the same level as the audience, and in front of that, the same wide sweeping apron stage, 2 meters deep, which is connected to the back by two curved walkways. Much of the action takes place at the back, but then diverts to the front and sometimes even to the auditorium. Ahead of us and almost filling the width of the upper stage is a large rectangular travel poster in bold 60s colors of a deep blue body of water with two cone-shaped volcanoes looming above a distant city against a red and orange sky. This is the Bay of Naples, with the words, "Welcome to Naples," printed across it. A sleek blue and white ferry boat ploughs across the bay, and around it 4 small sailing boats. The ferry is heading for a jetty towards our left, lined with 4 bollards. To the left and right of the poster, there's a potted palm. And further to the left and right, a glimpse of ancient Naples. 4 square columns with terracotta bases on either side, with slender Roman statues, both male and female, standing between the columns. The females are draped in robes, the males are not. Looking up above the poster, remnants of the stone-coloured walls of an ancient citadel run from left to right. Standing next to the columns on the left is a makeshift ticket counter, or kiosk, with an arrow pointing to the right on the top front panel of the kiosk, followed by an aeroplane symbol and the word Arrivi, arrivals. On the lower side of the kiosk, the green, white and red Italian flag, followed by the word Napoli. Later on, the kiosk will transform into the entrance of the Hotel Caligula, a tourist hotel, and lounge chairs and a low table represent the hotel foyer, with a brass luggage carrier waiting nearby. Later still, there'll be a cheerful trattoria, with tables covered in green and white and red and white checked cloths, and candles set in wine bottles. That's positioned on the upper stage with a central door leading off. At a later stage, a puppet theatre, an ice cream kiosk, and Roman ruins make their appearance. There are six principal characters. Ferrando and Guglielmo are US Marines stationed in Naples and currently on leave. They're both full-faced, square-jawed and broad-chested, clearly enjoying the local beer and pasta in between military duties. Both wear short-sleeved khaki shirts over white vests with khaki trousers to start with. To distinguish the two chaps, Guglielmo has short dark hair and a ruddier complexion. Ferrando is blonde and wears glasses. His is a lyrical tenor voice, whereas Guglielmo is a deeper lyrical baritone. And Guglielmo is played by Andres Suarez, and Ferrando by Edvard Ade. The objects of their passion are two Italian sisters, Fiordaligi and Dorabella, who arrive in Naples by plane. Dorabella, who is Ferrando's girl, has shoulder-length, thick, wavy blonde hair, wears red lipstick, heavy mascara, and favours big, dangly earrings. The epitome of glamour. She arrives in a fashionable pale blue jacket over a white blouse, a blue necktie and light blue pedal pushers. Later, she wears a natty beige halter neck and mid-thigh shorts. And she's sung by Swedish-Japanese mezzo Eina Miyagi Magno. Her sister Fiordaligi, who is in love with Guglielmo, has shorter wavy auburn hair. And she's wearing a more sensible knee-length bright blue skirt suit when she steps off the plane. She's the more serious of the two sisters. Later on, Fiordaligi opts for a very 60s acid drop colour palette, an orange sleeveless blouse with a long yellow skirt, and she's sung by Eleanor Oldfield. The mastermind of this cynical plan is Don Alfonso, a man of medium height in his 40s. We first meet him having a lie down at the side of the airport kiosk, wearing a leather jacket over a white shirt and red braces, a trilby tipped over his eyes. He then changes his garb, like a chameleon, depending on what he's doing and where the action is taking place. His first job is to put on an apron and to ply the two Marines with cool beers, and later he dons the black and white striped waistcoat of a waiter. He is played by Edward Birchimol. Once the men have agreed to the wager, Don Alfonso, who never reveals why he's so cynical, brings news that the men are to be sent back to active duty. Well, that is the ruse. The lovers bid each other a passionate and fond farewell, the men imploring the women to stay faithful, leaving them with nothing better to do than to go sightseeing to the ruins of Pompeii. The women are unaware that the two men have reappeared almost instantly in the guise of two Roman chaps looking for love. And their disguise is that of two Roman soldiers, complete with feathered helmets, a fringed red leather tunic for Guglielmo, and a long cream shift tied at the waist for Ferrando. Both wear Roman sandals and sport macho moustaches. To advance his cynical plan, Don Alfonso recruits the help of one of the busiest women ever to grace the stage, the slim, agile, sharp-tongued, indefatigable and comical maid, Despina, whose cackling laugh reflects her attitude to men. She's sung by Juliet Montgomery. Surrounding herself with a quartet of very willing, fairly effeminate young men, also in acid colours of yellow and green and orange, who are at her beck and call. Despina is so much more than a maid. She's an airline ticket checker, a cleaner, a waitress, an ice cream seller, and later she adopts a number of real disguises. But her first job is to don a pair of high-vis red overalls, a pair of headphones, and to hold two bright orange paddles that look like table tennis bats. And she waves them in the air as she guides in the oncoming plane, which delivers the sisters and other holidaymakers. The largely female newcomers spill onto the stage through the auditorium, in sun hats, cardigans over dental skirts, carrying beach baskets and looking forward to meeting other Marines. Some are girlfriends, some are their mothers. Don Alfonso tells Despina he needs her to help find some female company for his two Roman friends, which she does, mischievously encouraging the sisters to have a bit of fun while their men are away. But the Roman duo's initial blandishments are met with total rejection. But that doesn't stop the men from stooping to dastardly means, vowing that they will take poison if the ladies do not reciprocate their passion. Using Despina disguised as a doctor, the two men apparently dying are revived by some magic potion, and they implore Fiordaligi and Dorabella for a kiss. The ladies happily make their escape for the time being. Which brings us to the end of Act 1, before the plot really starts to thicken. The thing is, left to her own devices, Dorabella begins to fall for the disguised and in some ways manlier Guglielmo, and, although she's more steadfast than her sister, Fiordiligi eventually also succumbs to Ferrando's persistent amorous advances as well. Don Alfonso rubs his hands with glee as he declares he's won the bet. He arranges a double wedding with Despina disguising herself as the marriage notary. Just as the wedding contracts are being signed, military music starts up, signalling that the Marines are on their way back. The women panic. Their disguised husbands slip away to change back into their khaki uniforms and return to discover the forged marriage contracts and Despina dressed as the notary. Don Alfonso eventually reveals the trickery. Though the men are furious at first, he reminds them that così fan tutte, they all do it, and begs all parties to forgive and laugh it off. But will they? The creative team and soloists for this YA performance are as follows. Conductor, Med Brereton-Hurley. Director, Benjamin Newhouse-Smith. Repetiteur, Yongku Yuan. And the City of London Symphonia, making their 21st appearance for this summer season. Violin 1, Alexandra Wood, Kathy Shave, Charlotte Reed, Rebecca Scott, Michael Jones, Elise Scher. Violin 2, Clara Biss, Fiona McCapra, Stephanie Waite, Amanda Britton, Esther King-Smith, Viola, Matt Maguire, Kay Stephen, Rachel Robson, Jenny Wilkinson, Cello, Becky Knight, Jane Oliver, Alexandra McKenzie, Bass, David Johnson, Phoebe Clark, Flute, Federico Paixão, Sofia Castillo, Oboe, Rosie Staniforth, Matthew Draper, Clarinet, Peter Sparks, Derek Hannigan, Bassoon, Paul Boys, Stuart Russell, Horn, Steve Sterling, Tim Caster, Trumpet, David Giorgi, John Young, Timpani, Jeremy Corners, Continuo, Stuart Wilde. That is the end of this audio introduction. We look forward to seeing you at the theatre with the Touch Tour starting at 1, a shortened version of these notes at 1:45, beginning at 2. This audio introduction was written and read by Veronica Hicks, and we'll see you on the 7th. If you'd like to book tickets, please ring the box office and tell them that you would like to attend the audio described performance.